I'm Brian McCreath from WCRB. I'm at Symphony Hall with Alessio Bax. And Alessio, you're here for the first time. And one of our favorite sports here in Boston, aside from the Patriots and the Red Sox, is to always ask people, what do you think of Symphony Hall now that you played in it?
Oh, do you need to ask that question? Really? Really? I mean, it's one of the greatest places. And I've heard, I grew up hearing about it. And this is my first time here. It's really a dream come true. And to play with this orchestra. I mean, just this morning I was selecting, I had to choose between two pianos, and they're both great, but in all truth, I don't think a piano can sound bad in this place. It's quite stunning.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky, and that's why we have that question. We usually know the answer, but it's fun to ask it anyway. Which piano did you end up choosing, by the way, if you don't mind saying?
No, the Hamburg Steinway. I mean, both pianos, what's amazing, they can be used for a wide range of repertoire. Usually in an orchestra, if you have a selection of two pianos, one will be much brighter than the other. And this is a little bit the case here. The New York can be pushed more, but I think for the Mozart, you need the most beautiful sound you can get.
Yet
a sound that cuts through the orchestra as well.
Yeah, sure. And yeah, those pianos are pretty recent acquisitions from the BSO. So you're among the first, within the first few years of those using them. Tell me about choosing the C minor concerto for this program. Was that a choice that you made, or were you asked to play that? Do you even remember?
I'm not 100% sure, because as you know, talks and negotiations start way before the date. But this has always been one of my favorite concerti, because especially when it comes to Mozart, they're all so beautiful and so different. It's almost if someone asks a father, who is your favorite child? And it's just an impossible thing to answer. But I have to say that this is really quite special. It's very operatic. There are mood changes and atmosphere changes and sound world. Quick changes, just like in opera. There's incredible writing, not only for the piano, but also for the orchestra, especially for the woodwinds. They're all double woodwinds. Every player in this piece has a wonderful time, and I think it's quite special. And maybe I can safely say it's one of my favorite.
Sure. And tell me about, I guess some people get really into that idea that there's only, is it two or there are three minor key concertos, something like that. And so how does that play out for you in terms of performing it compared to the major key concertos, which there are a lot more of?
Yeah, I mean, I would hate to generalize, but yeah, you're right. And there's definitely a lot of drama, much more drama in this piece than in others. Although, you know, if you have a beautiful concerto in a major key and then a minor key comes in, by contrast, it has so much more. And here you have the opposite. You have incredible major tunes in the C major tune in the melody in the last movement, for example, that really feels like a breath of fresh air. And then yet it's right after that, all hope is crushed. So I think it works both ways. By contrast, Mozart was master in and dramatic contrast. And this, though, it starts the bar with something so dark and bare and almost chilling. You know, you have those three notes, unison, and third is quite unexpected, and you really don't know where this piece is going to bring you. It's quite a ride.
Yeah. So I'm fascinated with your sort of geographic trajectory. You're born in Italy, yeah? And then and you live now in New York. You spent some time in Dallas. You've been all over the place. And I wonder, I'm always curious when people have that kind of background, whether you see more things in common among those who are in the audience for your concerts, or whether you really feel like there are differences among the way that different people hear music in where they live.
That's a great question. I think great music like this is so beyond the audience or us as performers and human beings that deep down every audience reacts in the same way. The differences are how they show their emotions to the music. So, for example, audience in Japan will be incredibly quiet throughout the performance. In Italy, it will be quite noisy. But I think music deep down affects people from different backgrounds in exactly the same way. And then, of course, there's the personal element. You know, music affects single people in different ways according to your own personal experience. But that's a different layer already. But initially, I think everyone reacts in the same way to music, and they appreciate it really in the same way when it comes to such amazing music. Yeah, so I think the minor differences in how audiences are used or are culturally brought up to react to that. You know, in Italy, they would jump up and scream even during the piece sometimes. you know, it's quite special.
Yeah, yeah. And do these different places where you've been based over the years lead you to any particular ideas of kind of what classical music needs to do to be more a part of people's lives? I think that honestly, we here in Boston are pretty spoiled by what's around us in this town. It's a little bit more, well, maybe a lot more active than a lot of other cities. But I kind of wonder, you get a chance to see more of these places than most of us do. And does that lead you to any ideas about the ways that classical music reaches people?
I mean, I think each one of us has to do their own, has to contribute somehow. And there's no secret recipe. I think I'm not worried about the future of classical music. It's been around forever. The music is so great. As long as there is what they like to call quality control, it's self-sustainable eventually. But of course, we need to get younger people to concerts and so on. But it's always been somehow an issue. Classical music is something that people get to very often later in life. Education is a big component, how to get people. But I'm really hopeful about the future of classical music, just based on the music itself.
Yeah. You've released a lot of recordings, many of which I'm familiar with. There's a Bach recording you did that I love. But the most recent one is the Emperor Concerto, with which you also, at least the most recent one that we've gotten that's been released, I think. And I was interested in the choice that you used to fill out that CD. Some contra dances, which, they're lovely, but most people kind of just set them aside. They're not the most compelling Beethoven to some people, but tell me about the choice of those contra dances on your recording of the Emperor Concerto.
Yeah, I mean, when I had a few single themed CDs just based on single composers, and I always like to find minor works by great composers, because I think there's really greatness in all of them. The contra dances, I think, are so fresh and so much fun, and so there's so many unexpected turns, and he does it in a matter of seconds. I mean, none of them is longer than 20, 30 seconds, so it's quite extraordinary how a composer that's written such large-scale works could be so succinct and so impactful in a way. They don't have the depth of other pieces, but there's one of them where they gave birth to the theme from Eroica Symphony, and how they're connected to each other too. It's quite fascinating. Plus, these transcriptions were originally done by Beethoven, which is quite interesting. It's originally an orchestral piece, and then there's a Polonaise in that CD that really, it's really looking forward to Chopin and in so many different ways, even in his writing for the right hand, how it was freely written. And there's a prelude that really looks back to Bach with Tempelklavier, and it's fascinating to me how all of these small elements made what Beethoven is.
Yeah,
even in the larger works.
Right, right. And your wife is a pianist as well. And just tell me how that works as in your household. I mean, you're both doing concerts, and you must have to spend a lot of time practicing, both of you. Are there two instruments in the house? I mean, how do you negotiate your professional lives as pianists together?
Well, it's a wonderful thing, David, if you do get along with the person, which we do, to share a profession or a passion or a hobby, whatever it is, because then you really understand each other. I mean, when she's able to come to one of my concerts, it's really an extra set of ears, and I get really spoiled by getting that feedback, because she knows what I'm going for and what I'm trying to do. And so it's quite special to be able to share that. And we do manage to book a few tours together in a piano for hands or two pianos repertoire, especially piano for hands. I think they're some of the most amazing, intimate and meaningful and special music ever written. So that's really quite a special element in a relationship.
Yeah, that's terrific. Well, Alessio Bax, welcome to Boston, and thanks for taking a little bit of time to talk with me today. I appreciate it.
Pleasure. Thank you.